Welcome to Fairly Critical, the podcast where we talk about movies and beer and have just a good old time. Today we're doing something a little bit different. We have invited our wives to join us, and they have their own podcast, which is When We Rule the World podcast. And so we're going to start our conversation here, and then we're going to carry it over to their podcast this week. So I'm Brian Watkins.
And I'm Jamie Lira.
I'm Jenny with a Y.
And I'm Jenny with an I.
Boom. Jenny with a Y is my lady. That's all I'm saying. So this week we are going.
Okay, now I feel
important
loved,
for designation
okay.
Because whatever. You know, that's how they introduce themselves
they need to
on
know.
Their podcast.
They need to right. know that when she's being mean to me, that it's my wife.
Oh yeah, I'm
yeah,
mean
and they'll
to
be like,
often.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So if, there, if she's in the left channel, is that your wife?
They're all going to be centered by you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know. But yeah, so this week we're going to be talking about the second installment of Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
Yes.
Nice.
So now, I read the book. I know Jenny read the book.
Totally.
I read the book.
Jenny with an I read the books. Jamie's
I'm
odd man
Jamie
out.
Did not read the book.
Jamie's odd man out. You should do them. They're short,
more
dude.
Of like our thing.
Jamie doesn't read.
Don't get the audiobook, though. The lady who reads the audiobook sounds like a robot.
Is it the same one from the first audiobook?
Yes.
Because that was why I didn't finish the first audiobook.
Uh-huh.
It's so
because
rough.
It was really bad, especially yeah. after listening to Roy Dotrice.
Yeah. She's like...
She's not good.
She's like, Katniss.
Peter.
Right? But Peter. It's actually, I think it's the same lady who read the Host audiobook, too.
Oh
and that
God.
Was... It was rough.
I wonder if she's the voice that's on the like the early Kindles that would like read
it
the
might be.
Words
I don't
on
know.
The
robot
page.
Whoever voice? She is, I would avoid her if you can. But
it's Siri's ugly
either way,
little
great,
sister.
Great book. Great book series. And good. I think it was a strong second movie.
It was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I yeah. loved it.
I'm just going to jump in there and say it. I
well,
liked
I like
it.
To think that I'll be able to bring then that opportunity to anybody out there who did not read the book
right,
to
Jamie
say whether or not
that.
It stands up. So, but I will defer to you guys to, because I think I'm fairly critical. We really particularly like to talk a little bit about how these movies that come out are referenced by the source material of the books that they have made from them. But so you guys can definitely chime in and let me know, maybe educate me as well along the way.
Sure. So what did you think of the movie, Jamie?
I liked it. It was good. That's a really generic way of saying anything about that movie. But, you know, it really follows up nicely with it, with the first one. I found that I only saw the first one the one time.
Okay.
And I would have watched it. I think I could have watched it again. It certainly picks right up where the first one left off.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to kind of get caught up, brought back up to speed. I couldn't really remember, like, the significance of the berries at first. And
oh,
then
sure.
it kind of, like, sort of came back to me. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, are they going to have games in this? Because wasn't it new tributes? And so that was kind of interesting for me. Maybe you guys experienced this when reading the book. You know, how they found a way to get them back into that situation. Like, didn't seem terribly contrived.
Right. And I know for me, listening to the audiobook, I was wondering the same thing. I was like, well, are they going to be like the new coaches now? Are they going to be the sponsors? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? And then when they pulled that stuff, I'm just like, no!
Quarter quell. Now
Why?
You all will go back to the games. Yes.
Why?
Por qué?
Por qué no? Por qué no?
Por qué no?
What do you think? You're awfully quiet over there, Jenny.
Yeah.
What do you think? Jenny has two beers.
She has two beers.
I am two-fisted drinking right now. I have the beer that I started with, which is... what you featured on a previous podcast, the Elliot Ness.
Oh, that was 2 weeks
from
ago.
The Great Lakes Brewing Company, and it's delicious. And then I have this other beer called Rampant Imperial India Pale Ale. And you guys all hated on it. You said
it was not
sucked.
Good.
And I like it. So I'm going to drink this beer. I think wasting alcohol should be a punishable offense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drink it.
I'm glad, because
so
I wasn't
I'm two-fisted drinking. Nobody's...
I didn't like
gonna
it.
Drink this one.
I switched off of it and went back to the leftover boot we had from last week because it was just so good. And they were cool enough to tweet us back from Anderson Valley.
Yeah, all the way out there in San Francisco.
Props to them.
Nice.
But yeah, so one thing I found out when I was just kind of scrolling through the IMDb that I thought was interesting, one of the tributes, Marvel, who was not like a big part in the movie, was played by Jack Quaid. And I'm like, who's
is that
Jack
Dennis,
Quaid?
Is that Dennis Quaid's kid?
It's Dennis Quaid and Meg...
Quaid?
Shut up. Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son.
Whoa!
Okay, well,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Which
that
one
is a
was
weird
he? It wasn't
because...
Finnick, was it?
No, it was Marvel. So he's one of the four, the four from like the
that you
one
don't and two? See.
Yeah.
One and two, the B, you know, right, the BAs.
Who just kind of like they weren't in it much in the movie.
Wait, they were to be feared.
The yeah. sisters? The sister and brother?
The brother, sister, like, yeah. No, that was Thad.
No, that was Thad, yeah, no. It was,
you didn't see Rocky Mountain, what, it's not Rocky Mountain State, what? Blue Mountain State. Blue you Mountain didn't State. See that show, Blue Thad. Mountain State.
No, I didn't.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad.
Oh. Oh, like he was the one that they hid by.
Yes.
By oh, yeah, by camouflage.
That guy.
Yeah, so anyway.
He looks creepy.
Yeah.
It was a little, I was like, wow, look at that. A little tie in there. Nice. I thought that was interesting because I'm like, huh, there can't be that many Quaids that aren't related to the Quaids.
Well, that's really interesting because I said to Jen, my Jenny, during the movie, that Jenna Malone, is it? The one who plays Joanna Mason.
The psycho, yeah.
Yeah, the one who's
seen her in other stuff.
She's in a lot of stuff. She's in the Runaways.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't know why I recognized her.
Uh-huh.
But I found out later she was in Sucker Punch. She was one of the girls.
Oh, but, yeah, that makes
she's
sense.
She's in tons of stuff.
I thought she looked like a young Meg Ryan. So it's kind of interesting that you bring up Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan.
I don't see that at all.
Go back and look.
No,
I'll mention it for you, and then we'll throw it out.
I'm going to disagree.
I've seen her like a billion times. Like I don't think... I think it's the chin. You know who looks like Meg Ryan is the girl from Safe Haven.
Oh, yeah. Julianne.
Julianne.
Yes.
I saw with the bad costume.
Yes. The racist girl. She's not racist. She's not. Go back and listen to our first podcast.
It's Julianne Hugh, right?
Hugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then or Laura Hull. Said...
I don't know.
Laura said that her last name is actually pronounced Huff.
That girl looks like Meg Ryan.
Because that makes sense.
H-O-U-G.
She totally looks like... Look at... Does she look like Meg Ryan?
Okay, I'm going to say... Yeah, because she has blonde hair and blue eyes.
She naturally looks like Meg Ryan. No.
Doesn't look like her at all.
I just got flipped off. You couldn't see that, but I got flipped off.
It's about the chin, I'm telling you.
I would have to say, if you put that other chick that you're talking about in the Hunger Games, the angry girl with blonde hair.
All right, so check this out. Look at this picture right here.
She would kind of look like Meg Ryan, a little bit.
Find out if Jamie knows how to work an iPad.
Check out that picture of Meg Ryan and tell me that does not look...
See? She does.
That does kind of look like
told you.
As young Meg Ryan. And short hair helps sell it, too.
Yeah. See,
the hair... I'll concede.
Thank you.
Point
just I don't
want to
hear about it anymore.
Thank you, Lena.
Half a point.
You just actually backed me up right there. I love that. I could lean on you for that.
Well, I just don't want to get beat up afterwards. I'm just kidding. Really? I'm just kidding.
I don't think we can joke like that on the show.
I live with him. I have to go home. No, I'm just kidding. My husband is very sweet and nice, and I am not at all being coerced to say that.
How long have you guys been married?
Oh my gosh. It's going to be 15 years on December 2nd.
That's weird.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you guys are not that old. Yeah, you guys beat us by a year. Yeah, we've been married for 14 years. So.
Yes, this past August.
Yeah, but we're really not that old. You guys don't understand. We got married when we were babies.
We did.
I was a child bride.
Yeah.
I tried to explain to that.
I was a child bride.
I was
in Kentucky. I was a child bride.
I was childish. We tried explaining that to one of the pages when we were in New York.
One of the pages?
Yeah, from, where were we? NBC, we're doing the studio tour. Those guys that run around?
Oh.
From 30 Rock?
Okay.
Okay, they're actually called NBC Pages.
Oh, okay.
And
You said that, I'm just picturing like this guy with like pantaloons and tights and
it was close.
Like a sweater
hat.
It was like a gray suit.
Come hither, I shall show you New York.
They were nice suits.
They were really nice suits. Okay. They're custom too, he told us.
They get custom tailored.
They do, custom
tailored. Like they get them from a pool of old guys'
and
suits.
And then they can go and get them.
But then they can get them tailored.
Yeah.
So they aren't given to them and then tailored. They have to take them and go tailor them themselves.
Yeah, but I think they pay for them.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's okay.
They don't have to pay out of their pocket.
Okay, good.
No.
Or they get reimbursed.
Then that's close. So they go and get them tailored.
Yeah.
But they just have like a big pile of suits like from old pages. And
he said, you know, since they're custom, when they don't work here anymore, they just take them.
Yeah.
We just take them.
Then where's the pile come from?
Some honest
people that leave them behind.
Dead bodies.
Right? That's when they're buried in their page uniforms.
They're buried in their page uniforms.
They go and take them back. They leave their pin, though, on their corpse.
So this guy, I can't remember our page tour guide's name.
I don't care.
I don't, yeah.
We'll call him Kenneth 2.
Kenneth 2. 2.0. He's like, what are you guys in New York for? We're like, well, it's our anniversary. Oh, how many years? 14. And he just stopped and looked at us like,
why are you making fun of me?
No, I don't see it. And he's like, are you being serious? Like, and we're like, yeah. And then I was like, I was a child bride.
And then he
was like really confused. And I'm like, I was 18 when we got married. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, it still seems crazy that I got married when I was 18. Yeah. But according to him, 12, it was was better. And I wanted to tell him I was 14 when I got married. Like, we're from Kentucky.
From Kentucky, I was 14. My pa said, girl, you're going to get
hit. I have way too many teeth to pull that off.
That's true. Yeah.
So that was a fun trip when we talked about that. So, yeah. Hunger Games. So, sorry, we're totally random.
One of the things that they did not necessarily do in this movie that they did in the first movie, and I was a little annoyed about it, is there were a couple of things like where the monkeys were coming after him and the mockingjays, and PETA just kind of threw out at her. He's like, oh, they're mutts. They're mutts. But they never explained that. And
what a mutt is.
And they left the mutts out of the first movie.
Right. It was unnecessary. They didn't need it.
No, they didn't need them, but... No.
But then to bring it back in the second...
He's just throwing the term out like everybody should know what it means.
Right.
So I thought they should have done something like they did with the Tracker Jackers and cut to Stanley Tucci and be like, oh, what you
gonna
know
to explain
that, that these mutts, they're genetically engineered creatures that they put in.
How amazing is Stanley Tucci?
He was so funny.
Oh, with
oh my gosh.
He owns that.
Yes.
I love Stanley Tucci. And I loved his hair in this one. Purple
and
hair.
And his eyebrows, perfect every time.
I've had purple hair. It's fun. It's amazing. And so, on a dude, super cute.
Were you laughing like every time he showed up in the theater? Because like I was, and it's like I'm the only person that's like cracking up every time he shows up. Everybody else in my face.
We were the only ones who really laughed. There was that one scene where they come out and the and Katniss and PETA kiss. And then or whatever, that whole engagement thing. No, I'm sorry. It's another one. It was like it was almost like a studio roll-in that they had where they were kissing, and next standing next to them was Stanley Tucci's character.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like turning to the crowd like,
what was the engagement?
And nobody else, like, it's almost as if nobody else.
It was when he proposed.
Yeah, right, but he was there. He's like, he was right there. And it was pre-recorded or whatever, you're rolling out for his show.
Yeah, it was like green screened in. Yeah.
But the thing was, in that scene, it's like it's almost like everybody in the theater was looking at them kissing. And I felt like Jenny and I were the only ones who were looking at Stanley Tucci because we're big fans of Stanley Tucci.
I was watching Stanley Tucci.
But we laughed out loud. Or maybe the three of us are the only ones in the entire theater that laughed.
Me? I told I was looking at Stanley Tucci.
You were there then when we saw it, though.
No, I wasn't with
Jenny. Jenny wasn't with us.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting this mixed up.
That was in Thor.
That was in Thor when the three of us went.
Carry on.
So I'm young. Anyway,
so we're the only ones who laughed. 15
years. He's getting a little older. Memory's hard. I'm just kidding.
I'll just ask. It's a testament to this Boone's beer.
Oh, it's the beer.
It's the beer.
That's right.
We have to blame
the beer. We've got the wine.
We blame our wine all the time.
All the time.
So just edit that, Brian, please.
Oh, I just pulled you down a little bit. It's all good.
I'm not on anymore at all.
No, I just turned you off. We're like, we don't need any more.
You're right. I screwed this up completely.
Right?
Oh my God.
All right, so anyway, let me rephrase that. So anyway, we're the only ones actually laughing out loud. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little self-conscious, but we're like, hey, man.
Because you were the smartest ones in the theater?
I don't know about that. No, I don't want
to...
No.
Oh! Okay, here, we need to introduce this. So we have a drinking game.
Okay.
Pause.
Let's do it. Here.
Jenny with an I says, exactly, we have to drink.
Because I said it way too many times in our second podcast.
She says it way too many times in our podcast. So my words...
Affirmative, you know?
Yeah. Well, she has a plethora of words to choose from. True. Exactly is her word of choice.
Yeah, you
so
can say
my
church.
Words, I have a lot more than she does. I'm kind of embarrassed to say. My words are inappropriate/appropriate,
mm-hmm.
and then amazing.
Amazing.
That is a huge one.
Which we probably didn't drink on because I think you said this movie was amazing, but that's okay.
Oh, let's just drink twice then.
All right.
I don't know.
Two. Here we go.
I don't know. That's another one. I don't know. Every time I say inappropriate/appropriate, amazing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Drink.
Okay. Brian just stepped on me.
Oh my gosh, you almost knocked over my whole glass of wine.
So, Stanley Tucci, exactly amazing.
Yes.
I say amazing.
Yeah, it's
would all be done.
Okay, sorry.
Wow.
Nice try,
this is great. I found a tool to use. but we laughed, and everybody else is like,
what's so funny?
Yeah, almost like they didn't pay attention.
It's sweet.
It was
they
hilarious.
Didn't get it. You know, people are not smart when they go to the movies nowadays.
People are not smart.
I just got the sense that everybody else in the theater wasn't paying attention
to
him.
Do you feel superior?
No, and I don't want you to put that on me like that because I don't want to feel like...
It's okay. when I go to a movie that I've read the books, I feel superior because I feel like I have inside knowledge that these other, you know, losers don't have.
I did feel superior to the guy, or the couple who decided to bring their little child in the movie.
Oh, dear. An infant. Crying infant.
The only saving grace was that as soon as he started crying, the child started to cry, the dad got up and walked out. Good. With the child.
Well, it wasn't as soon. The child was crying enough. I mean, he should have been up and out as soon as the kid went,
Wait a minute.
No, let me put this in perspective.
Did you say exactly?
I said exactly, but that's not my
it
word.
It doesn't count.
No.
So. Let me put this in perspective. As to most of the times, pretty much every time that you go.
As the most
and you,
of
and
times?
A whole nother time that you've gone.
Every other time.
Any other time that you've gone
yes.
to the film and you hear that. You're like, wait, it's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
For more crying.
And sometimes they don't, right, and they don't, and they never mm-hmm. do anything. In the scale of ratios, like this guy, in my opinion, was like.
A scale of ratios.
Yeah.
Why am I defending your husband?
All I'm trying to say is that.
I get
he
it.
He said it first. It was cute. I like it. I'm going to use it.
In our
scale
theater,
of ratios.
The entire time we had kids.
Oh my gosh.
Going in and out, presumably to the bathroom.
Oh yeah.
Who could not walk quietly.
No, it was a thundering herd of elephants down the stairs every time. Every time. And like 20 people had to go to the bathroom during this movie.
Herd mentality.
Back and forth. Back and I'm like, really?
And we were sitting on the end right next to these stairs. And as we were leaving, Brian goes, huh, I'm walking down the stairs. Can you hear my footsteps? No, I can't. Because we don't run up and down the stairs like a bunch of animals.
I'd be sitting there going, quiet feet, quiet feet.
Oi, Candace is trying to deal with some serious stuff here. But no.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
It means to shut up and make your footfalls practically silent if you are disrupting the movie.
Watch your peas.
You watch your peas. And cues, buddy. You have to live with me. Anyway, shut up.
So
you have to get up in the middle of the movie.
On the average, this guy was out immediately. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
On the average, this guy was definitely in the 1% who actually responded within a reasonable amount of time and got that kid out of there.
All right.
And in the end, it didn't end up ruining because like, oh, good, crying baby, gone. I can refocus again.
The worst was the one time Jenny and I went to see one of the Twilight movies. Where there was like the big battle. It wasn't the last one, but it was like the second to last where they had
the
big werewolf fight.
Yeah, and the third one.
These people filed in, and there was like two ladies and probably an 8-year-old and a 3- and a 4-year-old.
Oh,
so it gets to the part where everybody's like ripping heads off and stuff. The two little kids start crying.
Yeah, you think? Wow.
The mom turns and has the 10-year-old. Take the two smaller kids out of the theater so she can watch her Twilight.
I would do that too. I'm just saying. I'm like, why do I have to miss my stories?
I'd be like, I'm not bringing my little kids to the movie.
First
That's
and
what
foremost,
I
would not have
if
brought.
If you don't want to miss your story.
If I don't want to miss my stories, I don't bring my kids.
You should probably not take them at all.
Right.
Yeah, I don't.
Saying.
If it's something that I really, really need to watch or focus on that I'm excited about, my kids stay at home with a babysitter.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I get it. It's hard.
Which is why Jenny and
really
I,
hard.
You guys were gracious enough to take our kids.
Yeah,
so we
to
can
watch
go
our
see
kids,
yeah.
which was
Hunger
awesome.
Games without our kids.
Yeah. yeah.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Jamon.
So.
So we left off with Stanley Tucci. What else do we like about
this
film?
We love
him. Yeah, he's great.
Even though the character annoys me, I like the job that Elizabeth Banks does.
Oh, as Effie.
Yes.
She's awesome.
She's supposed to be annoying, so the fact that it's annoying is good acting.
But you can see, I don't remember them doing this so much in the books about Effie becoming like their friend.
And empathizing with them.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because in the movie, you could totally see that, she's like, I'm so sorry, we're a team, here's your gold.
Yeah.
You know, we're a united front, and I feel bad that you're here.
She was kind of like a foil.
I don't remember that being like that in the books. It's been a couple years since I read the books, probably 2 years since I read the books, but I don't remember.
Yeah, is it like that in the book? Because I want to know because Jenny and I had a conversation where I thought it's like she's kind of like the microcosm for us as viewers and for the tributes of
for
the
District
society
12.
That they now live in. Where here they are, you know, she's acting like she cares about these things, but really all she is about is like keeping up appearances. So much, in fact, that her fashions exude this kind of over indulgence.
Yeah, but they all look like that in the Capitol.
Well, but that's what I mean. It's like she though is the microcosm for us as the viewers because we get to have her more often, and she is like that person who represents that as a whole, and it's that connection to them. And you see it's like it's always in their face. Then you know the horrible reality of people who are overindulging, and all they really care about are these games. But yet in this movie, it was in a way it was kind of inconsistent. If I had a complaint. It would be that she kept her character changed so much. But I have no reference to the source material to know if that's actually what's going
on. But during the course of the movie, it was weeks and weeks and weeks.
Okay. Right.
That went on. And I don't think they really explain that in the movie. Like, it was a period of time.
It was a long time.
In the books, I think it was like several months.
It's almost a year.
They go on the tour for like a long time.
They go on the tour for a very long time. They go to each district. There's different stuff in each of the districts. And I don't know. I mean, I think
how many districts are there?
There's 12.
Well, so I mean,
one that's 13, based on 13 is burned up.
They spoke at that
supposedly.
One, which was kind of long because they apologized to those kids.
Allegedly,
I don't. They could have probably done this in a probably afternoon. 12 districts.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that where they were going to do this presentation. That would take weeks.
All the 12 districts.
Well, because
they had 5 hours.
They had to travel between.
They're really far.
The way they explain
really
it,
far.
It's basically they took the United States
and
divided like the United States and Canada into 13 territories.
13 districts. Oh. Yeah.
And so the capital, I think, is in the middle.
Probably.
No, is it north?
Was it by New York?
Or is it south? It's somewhere where it's nicer.
High-speed train, 3 days.
Okay, but here's the deal, too, is that they spaced these districts so far apart so that the people in the districts couldn't communicate with each other. They could not leave one district to go to another.
To go to another.
Oh, I get it.
So they spaced them that far apart.
But they're on that super fast train.
Well,
that you get to
places. I don't really think that it's relevant.
You can get across. So I think it is, because there's not really that much time for them to be spending together.
I think the whole tour lasted like 2 weeks in the book. I think that's what they said. I think it was like two weeks.
Was that they had time to create some sort
of meaningful relationship. But in the books, there was almost a year before they went and did this victory tour or whatever.
Right, because they did it right before the new games.
Right.
That's true. So there is that.
Yeah.
That alone right there kind of explains it.
Yeah, so the book is always better than the movie. It's always, because they can't fit everything into these movies. You got me this shirt for Christmas last year.
I did.
And said the book was better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my English teacher loves this shirt. Every time I wear it, she's just like, yeah, you're right. I'm right.
I know.
It is right.
That's why I got the shirt.
The books are always better than the movie, except for two instances, and we're not going to go into this because I'm so mad I threw my Kindle.
Yeah,
that's how I saw
this movie. It was like this ABC Family or Disney movie. I don't know, whatever. It was this movie based on this book, and I thought, well, the book's always better than the movie. I would say 99.9% of the time, the book is better than the movie because they can't cram everything into 2 hours,
and they also can't recreate the personal experience that you had while reading the book,
especially if it's a first person. Well, you know, if it's, you know, like a narrative almost. It's like you're in this person's thoughts, you know, and I think that's how The Hunger Games are written. It's from Katniss's point of view.
Right.
So you can't get everything in the movie that you get from the book.
Now, having said that, I'd like to say this about the film, is that Jennifer Lawrence, like, she's awesome.
She is wonderful.
She is awesome. She gives it all to you. She gives it all to you.
Did you just say awesome?
I said wonderful.
Oh, and nice.
I used a different word.
She mindfully said that was wonderful.
I saw the look and I was like, wait, was that because you said awesome?
But she's like, not hard to look at. Sorry, Jenny's. But it's true.
She's hot.
She's
I love
hot,
her hair.
But
I love her hair.
But she's not just hot. She's someone who's pretty, who can act. And that's the thing I've always hated about films.
And she's a good
person.
Somebody
who just looks good.
And
but
she's
doesn't
spicy.
Have any real, real
and
real
she's
chops.
A Jen.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Why you like her. Her name is Jennifer.
There it is. Yep.
She's a good Jen.
Back to what you had said about the game stuff and like the.
Started over because I was talking over you in a randomly unrelated subject. Please carry on.
You just made an edit for him. Do you know that?
I know.
All right. So
he's editing all the.
I'm just saying. Normally,
another edit.
He's editing all this out.
I have one, maybe two edits in this entire podcast. Today, it's going to be chop, 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 chop.
Way to make us feel
crappy.
No,
it's because there's too many. It's just because there's lots of
first and last crossover episode brought to you.
Whatever.
Yeah, just so you guys out there listening know, when Brian said chop, 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 he was like doing the traditional robot arm hands. Yeah, so.
I have a beard. I don't want to be too animated.
So rewind to that and imagine yourself doing robot hands.
Chop, 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 chop.
All right, so today.
This is normally what I do is I just set it up and I let Jamie talk, so I don't need any edits. I just let Jamie go. All right. Lay it on me, sir.
Okay, you were talking about the mutts or whatever.
The mutts and
the whole, you know, they made a real point of the actual enemies and things in the games that were coming for them.
Yes,
and that they were kind of dialing it down. I got that feeling too in this one that it was just, hey man, it's chimpanzee baboons or whatever they are. I don't know what they are. Like, are they baboons? Is that what they were?
They were baboons.
They're basically baboons.
Yeah, but they probably had a weird name because nothing has a normal name. You know?
No.
But in the part that they cut out of the first movie that was in the book is at the end, when they're at the cornucopia, they had sent these basically werewolves after them. But they realize that the werewolves are actually made from the DNA of the fallen tributes.
So they had their faces. So
they have, like, the eyes. Like, when they're looking at them, they could see, like, the soul of the other tributes in these werewolves that are attacking them.
Wait, yeah. this... Let me see if I got you straight.
Okay.
There's werewolves in the second book?
In the first
no,
one.
No, in the first book. And they're not really werewolves. They're just, they're wolves.
The way they describe them, they sound like werewolves.
They are. They walk on hind legs. Werewolves.
Human characteristics.
Yeah, yeah, because
they're wolves with human characteristics, and they can...
I feel ripped off.
I know.
I want my werewolves,
and
man.
So at the
you should have read the book.
At the end,
I'm talking about the film.
Right, at the end, how when they're all...
It's not necessary.
Yeah, because when they're all at the cornucopia at the end, and the one guy is like hiding below trying to get him, in the book, he's also fighting off all of these werewolves, which is why they were hiding on top of the cornucopia.
Oh, my gosh.
Makes sense now, right?
Yeah, because if they went down, they would get attacked.
And that lasted all night. It lasted like the whole 8 to 10 hours of darkness. Yes.
Yeah.
In the book.
So it was crazy.
Man,
I thought that went on for far too long.
I want my werewolves. I want a recut. I want werewolves in this thing.
The director's cut.
There you go.
Okay. Let me.
So back to the moths.
All right. So anyway, all I was going to say is that they didn't. They kind of left out that, and I felt like in the first movie they really made a cool point of like, even though I hadn't read the book, that there was these cool kind of weird modified
Tracker Jackers.
Yeah, and there was the Tracker Jackers. There was the Jabberbirds or whatever they call them.
Jabberjays,
which are actually the Mockingjays.
Right. Well, they're modified Mockingjays.
They're modified Mockingjays.
Yeah. So Mockingjays were a real creature that they just happened to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second one, because of her connection with the Mockingjay as her symbol, they threw in the Jabberjays that were like almost an insult to her.
I see. So it was propaganda.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Hold on. Lay it on me. In the books, the Mockingjays were trained to carry messages from... from like the rebels and the district to district in the uprising. That was one of the things that they used.
Which is why that symbol is
right.
So,
but then what happened is that then the Capitol basically remodified them to capture entire messages and then sent them out to spy against the rebels.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah, so that's what. So the Jabber, the Mockingjays were like unmodified, like the pure,
right,
you know, whatever, that were helping the poor, helping the oppressed. And then the Jabberjays represent the evil, all that is evil in the Capitol, because they can completely capture speech, tone, and then entire conversations. And so they're used to spy on people in the districts,
right,
even now.
And they left all that out.
Yeah. Okay. Like, they didn't explain the depth.
I mean, it would have been hard to explain, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of symbolic.
Because in the movies, they haven't really alluded very much to, like, the depth of the rebellion and what happened in the first one. In the book, they drop a lot of hints along the way about the 13th, you know, and all of the different stuff and what happened. You get a lot of little snippets along the way. So I have a feeling in the third movie, they're probably going to bring a lot of that information in. That in the books you already knew going into the third book.
Right. Okay. Well, on that note, I would also like to propose the one preposterous moment of the film.
Oh, no, you don't get to say it. I get to say it.
Oh, good. Hopefully you are like-minded and you will say exactly what I was going to say.
Hopefully you agree with him 100%.
I don't think... Oh, my gosh.
She doesn't even know.
No, we got into a big argument about
what was preposterous?
Not about the movie. About, like, the previews before the movie. Oh, my gosh.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, I know that's not what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the film.
I'm talking about the thing that I pointed out. Like, the only... I think there's one other complaint, but I can't remember what it is right now. But the only thing that I didn't get is, like, they're in the games, and then the guy that's supposed to be the good guy... But he's actually, like, the game warden. He's, like, ends up being the good guy, but he's
Michael
playing
Hall,
the bad guy.
Michael Clark Duncan, C. Thomas Howell.
Will you stop throwing out people's names? Michael Clark Duncan is the big African American in Green Mile.
Neil Patrick Harris.
No.
Will Wheaton.
Way gay.
I'll get it. No. Will Wheaton. He has like three names.
I can throw out names too.
No.
Nathan Fillion.
No.
Yay.
No, you're missing the point here. Anybody listening to this?
It's Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
Three names. Three.
John Wilkes Booth.
Right. Now, wait a minute. And an actor of recent, like.
Time. Abraham Lincoln Delaney.
Is that Dana Delaney's dad?
Huh?
It is. How did you know that?
How'd you know?
I just IMDb'd that.
Yeah.
So he was awesome.
My goodness. Anyway.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah,
was
that guy.
Great.
And oh, gosh.
As, when they went to the big ball
yeah.
right before the Hunger Games, you know, you think,
is
with
he
the dance.
Guy?
Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What's happening here?
Ryan is still laughing. Why are you
Stop
still
it.
Laughing?
We're trying to have a serious moment here.
Continue.
Wait, whoa. A so serious moment on our podcast?
About Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He is a very serious actor.
Well,
is he related to Dustin
No.
No,
not.
God, no.
No.
Just don't know.
Well, it was a joke.
All right,
anyway, so when they go to have that dance with Katniss, you think he says he makes some comments to her like, maybe he's a good guy.
Right.
Maybe he finagled his way into the situation of game master or gamekeeper or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, to like help her out. And then he's like a total jerk and he's with the president and then he's like conspiring.
Katniss, execution, Katniss,
exactly.
whipping,
you need
Katniss.
To do this, you need to do that. And I'm thinking, I read this book. I don't remember any of this.
No, I didn't remember any of that.
I don't remember any of that.
That. Yeah.
So I was surprised
mm-hmm.
that he was a good guy at
yeah.
the end. Spoilers.
No, we're a spoiler podcast. So.
Oh, okay, yeah, good. We usually say that.
All right,
up top, yeah, spoilers. we're gonna tell you lots of bad things.
Yeah, so at the end when they get her out of the games and you know he was good.
So this didn't happen in the book like
it
that.
Did.
It. I don't remember it happening this way, and so I even as a reader knew what was happening. Supposedly, I knew what was going to happen. It still surprised me.
Yeah, see, it did, and then when you walk in and you see him on the train. You think that she didn't really get out. That was like in the book for me.
Right.
It was, oh no, they got her.
Yeah.
They weren't on a train. They were on one of those hovercraft
whatever.
Things.
Whatever they were on.
Yeah, they're on
something. They're on trains the whole rest
anyway.
Of the movie. But yeah, so I was thinking that they got her. And then they're like, oh no, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
So,
anyway.
Continue with preposterousness.
That. Well, I wouldn't use the word preposterous, but anyway, because that sounds a little pompous to me. But anyway.
You're sort of pompous.
She looked at me,
so,
by the way.
Just a little bit,
because okay.
we had an argument.
I actually willingly accept that.
I know, you're good with it now. Anyway, when he like looks at the big map and he's like, oh, they figured out it's time. Let's spin it. And then they just start spinning the
that
whole
was
thing
not
like
in the
ridiculous.
Book.
No, not at the book. And then it spins and spins and spins and then stops. And he's like, no, let's see if they can tell time. And I'm like, hey, dumbass, the big old tree
yeah.
that gets struck by
it's
lightning.
It's still there.
It's still there.
The tree didn't
it
move.
Still gets struck at midnight. So they can pretty much still figure out the rest of the clock. I'm just saying.
If they figure
it
out to look at it.
It's not hard.
Which is funny. That
which they knew because they need the coil to electrify the tree. I mean, the tree. It's,
right.
a big, it's an important
this,
thing.
Before you say it,
that's
I
want to
it leads into what I thought
I
was
agree.
Preposterous.
Okay.
When they said this plan, I thought, okay, I could kind of see this coming. It was a little manipulated so that it was convenient that something was getting struck by lightning, first of all,
mm-hmm.
and that they would send it down. I thought, okay, but that's still cool. I can totally let it go. I had let it go. And then they get up to the tree, and they're like, okay, we'll tie this to the tree now. Whoa, wait. You guys weren't laying this cable on the way up?
Yes.
What? I don't understand why you would. Why would you? I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I'm into production, and I know
yeah.
how to run cable, first
yeah.
of all. Why wouldn't
point.
You have dropped
that
it already in the
point.
Water?
Why See, wouldn't you have run
and
it
make
and
one
from
trip?
End to beginning?
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure in the book, it wasn't just that they were running into the water. I thought that they were going to make a complete circuit all the way around
all
of the sections
oh.
to try and short out like the whole thing. Not necessarily just
but
kill
that,
those guys.
That's what the guy was actually doing, but you didn't know that that's what he was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But
then,
they were saying they were running it to the water to shock everybody.
Right. And the other thing is,
so why you wouldn't
book,
drop it
I'm
first
sure,
there?
Yeah, in the yeah. book, I'm pretty sure they also split up. And some
yeah.
of them went to do that while he was going the other way. So they were doing it at
yeah.
the same time. because he was collecting it that whole time. And then when they made the plan, they split up and went different ways with it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. It didn't work. Yeah. Because in the movie, you wouldn't know all that stuff.
On top of the fact that...
And
like,
I'm sorry, but
wait,
then...
they let you take that big old roll of cable that you created in the games?
No, it was...
It was in the cornucopia.
I know, but they don't... I mean, I don't... Did they show him grabbing it in the cornucopia?
No, I think it was implied that it was one of his
tools. Oh, they did do that?
Yeah. They said it was there.
I must have been listening to a baby crying at that point.
The other thing...
I'm sorry, I just want to reiterate. That really bothered me. Everybody, I'm sorry. If you're going to run cable and you're heading to the other destination, you start it
when
where
your
you're
life
at.
Is on the line.
Especially
let's
when
be smart
and you're
going to
be doing it at dusk, so that when you know they'll go down there and be shocked or whatever.
Unless they didn't want to leave that as like a clue to the other people,
maybe
that they were trying to shock.
But that's what happened. Is they did leave it as a clue, and what happened? Chop, right. And then all kinds of trouble happens.
So the other thing. That they sort of had in the movie, but it was a bigger deal in the book, was when they were the part where basically he taught Katniss how to find the weak spot. Because in the movie, it sort of looked like she just shot that thing into nowhere's land and it just happened to go. In the book, there's that part, and they had it in the movie, there's the part where they're in the facility and he's showing her, if you look, you can see this glint, and that's where it's phasing, and that's like the weak spot because of the power consumption.
Right.
So in the book, she actually, when she gets by the tree, they find a spot.
Yeah.
And it is the weak spot because of the way this thing is designed. There's like that one spot where the power drain makes it fluctuate.
Yeah.
And that's the spot that she hit with the arrow.
Yeah.
It wasn't the roof?
No. It was on the side, I thought.
Yeah.
Like they didn't, well, no matter, regardless of where it was.
But it looks cooler that she shot the roof.
Regardless of where it was, they didn't explain it. It just looked like, oh, yeah, you could just lightning bolt any part of this thing and it would go.
A lightning bolt the whole
just
roof.
Just take it down. But no. So anyway, that I was a little bit annoyed by that, too, that they just kind of glossed over. It's the things they gloss over that you know if you read the book, but you know, not necessarily pertinent to the overall enjoyment of the story. But.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I remembered it now is at the end when it's like the multiple ending. And then, like, the weird, awkward, let's look at Katniss's eyes end. You know, like, if it was me, I think I would have led the whole conversation in the train thing when she meets the three guys just a little different. You know, she would have run in with a syringe. They could have insulted her like they did. And then, which was lame. But anyway. And then said, you know, she could have asked about PETA and all this stuff. And then ended with them looking at her and going, Katniss, listen. This is the revolution, and you're the Mockingjay. Credits. Yeah. That's where it should have stopped. You know, it didn't... Because, like, the whole thing with...
I like the way they ended it.
I thought it was awkward. Because
it was like Twilight.
Did you, exactly.
Yeah, see, I don't get it. How did they end it? I'm missing it.
Man.
I think I missed it.
It ended with, like, a pull-in on her eyes.
No.
Yeah.
No,
exactly
I meant, like, figuratively.
How they ended.
I really don't understand what happened at the end is what I'm saying.
Okay, basically...
I don't get it at all. Like,
basically, what you find out in the books is that there's been this entire revolution, like an underground that's been
District
building.
District 13.
Yeah, and it's District 13 who was destroyed,
nuked to
but
hell.
They weren't.
Right.
No.
They actually have been there all the time fighting the government. And so they've been then now with all this other, since the whole thing happened in the first one, they've been getting people from all the other districts. And so her friend Gail and a lot of the people have actually been working with the resistance, and they've been guiding her kind of through this whole thing to
manipulating her
to be the symbol of the resistance.
Right.
So basically she's been being put out as like a lightning rod for people to join the resistance by getting help
unbeknownst
from her.
To her.
And
unbeknownst
she didn't know.
To her. Yeah.
And they're just, they're basically using her. And then she's really mad about it in the third book.
She's like the symbol of this whole revolution. And then she didn't ask for this.
Okay, so then that's what they should have done. When they zoomed in on her eyes and she finally opened her eyes, they should have immediately transposed a shot of the Mockingjay flying and then faded her out and faded up the Mockingjay. Bam! Mockingjay, bitch.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
There you go.
I like how it ended.
Okay.
It did, because it reminded me of part one of the last book.
The two-part Twilight movie.
Yeah. The two-part Breaking Dawn.
Is for they, most people, though, that's not really going to be a compliment.
Okay,
you what? Know that's why they did though, because it's the same demographic.
See, this is the argument we got in. Oh man, here it goes. Really is. This is the fight that we got in. Here it is.
Trailer that rolls out before this movie, Divergence.
Which looks awesome.
Which Jenny wants to see.
I can't wait to see this movie.
All I had to say about it was that it was saying...
I'm going to read the book first.
Right. Like, yes. From the best-selling novel or whatever. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
It is.
But
it's a
series. If it's so awesome, why did they have to, like... I felt like they had to kind of ride the coattails of the popularity of the Hunger Games and put that trailer there. Why didn't I see that at Thor?
They do this with
I know, but it's way too convenient. It's so very close to being the same exact story.
If you like this, you'll like this.
They do that now
if you're
because
here I don't to like see that.
If you
games,
like this, like this, I don't like that.
This is, this is why we got into a fight.
I don't like that the internet does that. Like the internet is really notable for that.
You and mean it's, Google? It's invasive. Google.
It's a lot internet.
It's a thing because I work in the media. I understand this, and that is that there's this. That's why there's the cloud and all these other things, and why Xbox wants you to be online 24/7. So you can be like, hey, you liked this, so you should watch this.
They're trying to be helpful.
No, I know they think that Netflix, they want you to feel that way.
It's all about advertising.
Netflix always knows.
I just feel like it could have stood up on its own merit.
Well, that's because I rate everything.
We rate everything that we see on Netflix,
and then
it comes back. Hey, you might like this. It's rated 4 stars for you. You know what? We watch it. We love it. Thank you, Netflix.
Do you agree with Jenny, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me make this. This is
He's
a good time for me.
Completely anti.
This is a good. This is why we have a good dichotomy among the four of us, whether it's just the two of me and Brian or the two Jennies, because. And this is one distinguishable thing that you listeners out there, if you're listening right now, is that Brian and Jenny with a Y are people who at one point would watch TV with a spreadsheet so that they could figure out when they could watch everything.
Still do.
So they could figure out,
I can show it to you right now.
All right, so there you go.
We have an Excel spreadsheet because we have
you guys are media junkies.
I have it saved on my Google Drive because I'm a Google fanboy.
You want it spoon-fed to you. That's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not nice.
You think that's
many
derogatory?
Things.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounded nice.
Here's what I say is that I enjoy many things, and I might like some things more than others, but, you know, I don't hate on stuff. I'm like, if someone wants to go out of their way to create content, then I'll give it a fair shake.
Bam! See, now that is a nice way of describing what it is. Now, here's the thing. Jamie and I used to be very much on the same page of being
there's our spreadsheet.
Intellectual. That's a very nice spreadsheet.
I will say
there's
32 items on
this
spreadsheet.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot of
shows. You watch a lot of TV.
So, well, this is the thing. We have been in these like consistent arguments and fights lately because he will only watch certain things, and 90% of them are movies. He's not into the whole TV series things. Now, I have begged him. When Breaking Bad came out, I'm like, you know what? We need to watch it. It's really good. I'm like, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. You're going to like it.
Uh-huh.
Completely, maybe. Completely anti, not going to watch it, not going to watch it, not going to watch
Why?
It.
Why? Because it was recommended for
yes.
you?
Yes. And so then
your own
has
research?
Has nothing to do with the whole recommend.
No, don't even.
Finish
don't
the story.
Even. Don't even. So then he gets to talking with his buddies at work, and finally somebody convinces him, and he's got a friend that works at one of the theaters, and now he is going over and watching it, you know, and indulging in 4 to 5 episodes at a time.
Okay. I get it.
Right.
Yeah,
Jenny, and watching Breaking Bad.
Jenny gets it because she does the same thing
to
me.
I do the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
All the time, I tell her,
I have to wait for 7 different friends to tell me, by the way, you'd like this, and then I go, maybe.
Okay,
I'll give it a shot.
I tell her all the time. I'm like, Jenny, you would love this. I don't want to watch that.
Uh-huh.
And then next day, oh man, I was talking to Jenny. I think I want to watch that.
Because I'm a dude.
Yeah. I guess. That, I don't know. But that's the whole thing.
That's where, like, I think Jenny with a Y and I should do a podcast where we rip on these things and go, we're really skeptical about them on their based on their credibility.
Oh my gosh, whatever. In any event, we got into this huge argument in the car because she was so angry that I know that they had this preview that
First
is of a similar show before a movie with a
because
female protagonist.
It's a movie based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Okay. To me it was like if you were to like finish watching Doctor Who and then they had a commercial for a new show. This guy, his name is Physician What? And he rides around an American phone booth. that's the face I'm talking about right there. That reaction.
Divergent is
like,
totally
dude, this
different.
Is so, yeah.
First off, it's based in Chicago. There's no Pan M. second off. I don't have a second off.
B,
it's totally different.
B, there's different actors in it.
Okay. Exactly.
I would have to say that I don't agree with Jamie's argument only because I don't really, from the preview, it didn't seem like that much of a rip. It's a similar style of movie, yeah, but you know what? When you go and see a romantic comedy, they don't show you action movie trailers.
This is correct.
They show you romantic
right.
comedy
if
trailers.
You're at a kid's
when you go
movie,
and see an action movie.
I'm saying it. Exactly.
Movie trailer.
Exactly, Drake.
It was like if you went
Drake.
To see Twilight,
yeah.
And there was another like...
They did. Beautiful Creatures.
Bam.
Beautiful Creatures also based on a series of books.
My
Supernatural
point,
yeah.
They
story.
Do it all the time. But if right. there's only one
just
or two movies that are similar... Then they're
going
to show you
okay.
the ones that
where
are similar
I was going
because
with this,
they want to target their audience.
The only reason I had a problem was because it feeds my fear that there's a dumbing down and there's a lack of originality
there is.
In Hollywood. And like we talked about last week, is that they are making this brain candy for the young people. And for us older folks who are discerning, they're just like, hey, we're just going to remake those old movies from their childhood. So just shut up and move on.
We're a dying
so
breed.
And then eventually they're going to die.
He
so
is so angry. And so then I got really mad at him because I'm like, look, you're not wrong. Like, Hollywood is...
Don't get mad at me. Don't you think I already got enough anger in me?
Oh, my gosh. I know, but it was just, like, the way we were talking about it that was making me so mad, and I was trying to explain it to you. Because the thing is, I get it. Hollywood is in this ridiculous place where they're having a really hard time coming up with good movies.
They can't come up with original ideas. So
no, I mean, everything.
They're having a hard time accepting original writing. The writers are out there. The stories are there. Look at Breaking Bad.
Don't touch that.
There are
right.
some
I'm sorry. I just keep getting
good.
Interrupted. Yo! So it's like, it's really hard.
I get it. I see where he's like mad about it. He doesn't yeah. want anybody to think for him.
Right.
He wants to form his own opinion. Right. Don't show me
I know.
This.
You ever seen
I want.
Mad Men?
No, I have not seen Mad Men.
Don't watch it.
It looks stupid. But they have cute clothes, though. Banana Republic.
They do. You know. But the whole thing is, and I'm trying to explain to him, I'm like, I get that you're frustrated about it, but I don't understand why you're mad about it, because
yeah,
that was the thing.
You don't have to be mad about it.
Right. He was angry about it, and so then I'm yelling at him. Finally, like, we get into this actual explosive argument, and I'm like, you're just being pompous about the whole thing.
All right, stop.
And that was the word.
He cannot defend himself until he's
I had to finish my point, and I mostly
okay.
got it.
So
anyway.
Here's the thing. It's called advertising.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And they're going to show you things that they think you will like.
Based on what you're seeing.
Otherwise, why would they waste their advertising dollars? They only have a certain amount of money that they're going to allot, so they're going to try and hit the widest, you know, like-minded audience that they can. Mm-hmm. And in a movie like this, I would say that most of the audience for this movie is going to be teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
We went and saw it because we read the books and we liked it. We're into, you know, Jenny and
they
I
call
love,
it young adult
Jenny
genre.
And I love... You know,
it's
the teen drama.
It's a new thing. It's,
we watched
it's
The One
not,
Tree Hill. And
instead of teen, it's a young adult.
Right.
That's what they call it. And it's books and
right.
and shows geared toward this young right. adult.
And
so,
go ahead.
I was going to say, while I will concede that Jamie's anger is somewhat justified, I think that it's not worth getting all riled up about because... It's advertising. If you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it.
Ah, but that therein lies that's the rub.
Eat
right
some
there.
Popcorn.
You're forced to watch it because you're there for the movie.
Because, yeah, no, but that just is the end game of my point is this, is they chose to do it because of advertising.
Yeah, that's...
Not because they... No, they went into this whole production.
It's an
now,
ad.
Hey, this would be... No. They chose to make the film because this is marketable.
Well,
that's why they make films.
Yeah, no.
That's why a movie studio makes
it doesn't
a film
stand on
it
based on its
it.
Own
they
its
make
actual
money.
Like
how you haven't seen it. You don't know. Maybe it's amazing.
Oh, you know, I have. It's called Hunger Games.
Nope.
No, Divergent is totally
see the pompous.
Different.
There it is. Yeah. That's
it's
what we, I got mad
did
at.
Did you not see? Did you not remember what you saw on the? Ad.
I did.
Right? That's like saying like, I'm not going to go see Thor because
okay.
I already saw the Avengers and I saw Iron Man.
No.
And you know,
and
they're, just,
America.
They're trying to
that's
they're
a
trying
good
to,
point.
They're trying to jam you these other superheroes down my throat.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You didn't get mad. In fact, you were mad because when we saw Thor, they didn't have the preview for Captain America and you're like, "Where's the Captain America preview?"
Oh,
double
man.
Standards. Double standards. Double standards.
If it was another Hunger Games story, that's fine. But these are all Marvel characters who exist in the same universe.
That does not relate. That's not, again, nope, that's not a valid point.
Still marketing. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and cut it there. Yeah. I think we said everything we had to say about Hunger Games.
Yeah. It was great.
It was great. I enjoyed having the ladies here today. So
thanks for having us.
Yeah. So we're going to continue this conversation, although it's probably going to get real weird.
It's going to get weird and different.
over on the When We Rule the World podcast. So if you want to follow us over, that would be awesome.
Oh, wait.
What?
How many mocking?
Oh, we didn't rate it. I give this movie
5 Mockingjays.
Yeah, I'm with that. I'm gonna give it 5 Mockingjays.
I will watch it again. Yeah, at least if I had a babysitter, I would go and watch it again.
I would totally go
that right good.
I agree.
Let's go
5.
Call your mom.
5 Mockingjays.
Call my mom. Mom.
5 out of 5 Mockingjays.
Jamie is like 3.5.
No. And I want to straighten this out because okay. I was really complaining more about this divergence and the trend of Hollywood.
Yes.
This film though.
Yes.
All I could think about in like that last like the beginning of the third act is I'm like, man, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty wild and imaginative science fiction is this marketable. I'm happy that there's a trend to actually this movie to be popular because I was really enjoying this movie.
It's smart, right?
There goes my chance to make it positive. I was trying to balance it out, man.
I'm glad these guys are coming up with original ideas, but
nobody
those
else.
Divergence guys.
Screw those guys.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I'm sorry, Jamie.
No, it's all right.
I love you, man.
All I'm saying is, like, I do enjoy the science fiction.
But don't offer me the things that I don't want.
No, all I'm saying is be original and come up with something else.
Divergence is nothing like the Hunger Games.
I know. Oh, I tried to tell him.
Just because there's teenagers.
I said with this stance, it'd be like Lord of the Rings is the only fantasy book ever.
It's just because nobody else can write fantasy. Is that the problem?
You guys are the ones who are all angry now.
So Jamie gave it how many?
Was it 5?
Mockingjays out of 5.
Out of 5. 5 out of 5 because I really enjoyed the sci-fi. 5 out of 5 Mockingjays because even though I didn't read the book, I was highly entertained by the peril in this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Despite the couple of flaws, but I think every movie has a flaw. I was just a little upset about the whole wire thing. Yeah. But overall, man, come on. Jennifer Lawrence, her
amazing
performance. And I really enjoyed that PETA in the first story to me. I don't know, you book people could say something about it. But I really thought he was like going to kind of maybe take a jerk douche role and insist that he be like, hey, you're my lady, right?
Nope. PETA
and instead,
is a good
he
guy.
Becomes more, it's an unlikely change in his character
where she's now
kind of like falling in love with him. And I liked that. I found that to be kind of cool.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about this love triangle.
Because that's Jenny's favorite part.
Because I'll tell you what,
I love
Chris Hemsworth's
love
brother
triangles.
Is. It ain't got no game. He can't play up against PETA. It's coming from the moviegoers. I don't know the story.
Totally
from
negating
my angle,
books. Okay.
It's like, is that dude's got no chance? Because how do you compete with a dude who's been suffering through all this stuff?
If you had read the books, you would see that
would
Jennifer
know.
Lawrence is totally ambivalent.
Yeah, to both of them.
She
to both
really,
of them.
She doesn't really care about either of them.
No.
Because she's
that's
like,
sad
she's,
because you know what? That's starting to make me think of, what's her face? Kristen Stewart, a little too much now.
No, it's not
don't
like
tell
that.
Me that's what
always
to
been
be.
In love with the vampire.
Okay, the difference is that in the Twilight series, it's like my entire world revolves around these guys. I have no conversation or no experience in my life that doesn't revolve around Edward, or Jacob.
Because he took the place of Edward.
Right, and it's like she has no internal motivation at all. And in the Hunger Games, it's a complete flip. In the Hunger Games, Katniss's character is the complete antithesis of the
Bella.
What's
Bella. I don't need a male to protect
define me.
Right. She doesn't want to have anything to
she
do with
she wants to do what she needs to do to protect herself
she was
and her family.
All about PETA by the end of this. Like,
okay. Oh yeah.
She
at the end of this.
At the
she
end of
has
this.
Fallen in love with PETA.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At the end of the second film?
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Because like she's like, dude, you've been there for me.
But it wasn't.
And you've been respectful of me.
Right. And it
so
wasn't because he needed her or anything. She realized that she needed him, but in a way that didn't take away from herself.
Right.
That enriched herself.
That's her
see,
that's
that
exactly whole
what
thing,
I'm trying
like,
to say. Is that that's what I like about it.
Okay.
I did like about this film. Is
yeah,
that,
but you started to say, oh, it sounded like Twilight.
Gale
no,
is
well,
her
you,
best
were,
friend.
You were saying made me think of it.
So for this week on Fairly Critical, I'm Brian Watkins.
And I'm Jamie Lara.
I'm Jenny with a Y.
And I'm Jenny with an I.
Have a great week.